Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, the Payavrata process of worship, today text 21. Savidhasyati te kaman. Harir dinanukampana. Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama Saha. He Vasudev Vidyasati will undoubtedly fulfill Te your Kaman desire. Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dina, unto the poor, Anukampanaha, very merciful, Amogha, infallible, Bhagavad Bhaktihi, devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not itara, anything but Bhagavat Bhakti. Iti, thus, matihi, opinion, mama, my. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all your desires, for devotional service unto Him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. Purport. There are three kinds of men, who are called Akama, Mokshakama, and Sarvakama. One who tries to get liberation from this material world is called Mokshakama. One who wants to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent is called Sarvakama. And one who has fulfilled all his desire and has no further material desire is called Akama. A Bhakta has no desire. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. He is purified and free from all material desires. The Mokshakami wants to achieve liberation by merging into the existence of the Supreme Brahman, and because of this desire to merge into existence of the Lord, he is not yet pure. And since those who want liberation are impure, what to speak of the Karmis who have so many desires to fulfill? Nonetheless, the Shastras say, Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yachita purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Kasapya Muni saw that his wife, Aditi, had some material desires for the welfare of her sons, but still he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is a Karmi, Jnani, Yogi or Bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudev and render transcendental loving service unto him, so that all his desires will be duly fulfilled. Krishna is Dina Anukampana. He is very merciful to everyone. Therefore, if one wants to fulfill his material desires, Krishna helps him. Of course, sometimes if a devotee is very sincere, the Lord, as a special favor to him, refuses to fulfill his material desires and directly blesses him with pure unalloyed devotional service. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Matthew 22:38-39. Krishna kahe ama bache mage vishaya shuka amrita cha divishaya mage e pade murka ami vigyan e murke vishaya kena tiba sva charanam ritadiya vishaya buliyapa. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If a devotee maintains some material desires and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna may directly give him unalloyed devotional service and take away all his material desires and possessions. This is the Lord's special favor to the devotees. Otherwise, if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desire to fulfill, he may become free from all material desires as Dhruva Maharaj did, but this may take some time. However, if a very sincere devotee wants only Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna directly gives him the position of Shuddha Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. Om Jnana Timirandasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Inatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langite Kirim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Guravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The text again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all of your desires, for devotional service unto him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. So we hear in this chapter how Kapasya, after a long time of meditation, he came back to the ashram and saw Aditi very morose. And Aditi was very concerned about the well-being of her sons and therefore was lamenting. Now, Kasyapa Muni now gives advice to his wife, and first he gave some transcendental knowledge, but now when he saw that she's not being pacified, he tells her, okay, you may still have material desires, but just worship Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada then extensively talks about this, what to do if we have still material desires. So that's the main topic here. Now, Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur only gives one sentence of purport to this text. He just says, Hari means one who takes away suffering. That's all he says. Because in this text we have the word Hari Dinanukampanaha. That Hari, the Lord, is very merciful. And the word Hari is used. And that's significant because Hari means the one who takes away everything. And it especially takes away our suffering. And in this connection, there is a beautiful song, The Supreme Thief, Shri Chora Grangaya Purusha Ashtakam, which describes how the Lord is a thief, how the Lord takes away everything, and how he is well known as a great thief, Makanchor, the one who steals butter. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He steals the butter from the houses of the damlas of Brajbhumi. He steals the garments of the damlas of Brajbhumi. He is famous of his act of stealing. And he also steals the sinful reaction of his devotees. He takes away all the sinful reactions. Such a great thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. And for those who take shelter of his lotus feet, he steals away everything. He takes all their possession, their material asset, money, man. He even steals their mind. And that's what we want, right? We're not so sure if we want that he steals our money, but we definitely want to, you know, make sure that he steals our heart, our mind. Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reaction. Hare Krishna. And immediately, if Krishna hears his names, then he takes away the sinful reaction of that person. It is said that if we just chant once the holy name, then all the sinful reaction, they flee away. Just as a lion roars in the jungle and all the smaller animals, they run away. Or just birds who sit on a tree, and if you clap in your hands, then all the birds fly away. So similarly, if we chant the holy name just once, then all the sinful reaction, they go away. So Krishna is expert in stealing, so he steals away the sinful reaction. O great thief, stealing all of our assets, where are you running? I will catch hold of you. You are such a great thief, but now you are catched. I will bind you with the rope of my love. Where will you go now? Running away and taking everything. You are bound up with this very strong rope of love. You may cut the rope of Yamaraj. You may cut off this material bondage, but you cannot cut the bondage of love. Now you are bound up. That devotee. It's an unknown Vaishnava, but that devotee prays like this. No, I have bound up you with my love, and I'm putting you in the very dark prison house of my heart. This is the right prison for you. I'm putting you here forever. This is the proper punishment for your act of stealing. I offer my obeisances to the great supreme thief, Hari. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He comments that the Lord is addressed as Hari, one who takes away all suffering. But as mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mainly focuses on the shloka Akama Sarva Kamuva, that how to deal with material desires. And in this text also, bhakti is glorified as a supreme. There is no other process which can be compared to bhakti. And the glory of bhakti throughout the whole Bhagavatam, bhakti is always glorified and emphasized because there is no other path which actually is auspicious. It's the only Shiva Pantaha, the only auspicious path that exists. And Srila Prabhupada, in a purport in the third canto, gives an interesting analogy with milk. If someone does not know what is milk, he may try to understand milk in different ways. Well, you can, if you have a cup of milk, you can look at the milk, you can see, oh, okay, it's white, you can smell, you can, you put your finger inside, oh, it's cold, or if it's hot milk, it's hot. So you can try to understand milk in different ways. Similarly, one can try to understand the Supreme Lord in different ways. We can approach him with jnana, with karma, with yoga. But actually, only with bhakti, we can understand Krishna. So similarly, just as one can appreciate the real taste of milk with the tongue and not with the eyes, no? If you really want to understand what milk is, you have to taste it, and that's done with the tongue, and not with the eyes, not with the ears. You know, how can you understand milk with the ears? You have to taste it. So similarly, bhakti is that element. Just as you taste milk with the tongue, you can understand the Lord with bhakti. And therefore bhakti is supreme. It's the only method to actually understand the Lord. And also Bhakti is always independent. And bhakti is the only process which actually can help us, and all the other processes are useless, as Kashyapa Muni also says here, that any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is said, Bhakti vinukona sadhana ditenare phala sabha phala deya bhakti svantantra prabhala. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Matya 24:92. The other processes cannot yield results unless they are associated with devotional service. Devotional service, however, is so strong and independent that it can give one all the desired results. So, bhakti is always independent. We only need bhakti, we don't need anything else. But all the other processes, they are depending on bhakti. That means even someone who focuses on jnana, if he wants to understand Paramatma, he wants to understand Brahman, he needs bhakti to do that. And someone follows the process of karma, he also needs bhakti. But of course, that kind of bhakti which the jnanis and the karmis or the mayavadis practice, actually it's not true bhakti. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also describes three kinds of bhakti. One is Aghona bhakti, Pradhanya bhakti, and Kevala bhakti. And Gona Bhakti is rejected by the Vaishnavas. Gona Bhakti means it is not true bhakti. It is just used to attain the goal. Like if the karmis, they or the yogis, jnanis, they just add a little bhakti to their process to be successful. But it's not real bhakti. Why? Because the goal is other than bhakti. The goal is not Bhagavan Krishna. The goal is merging. The goal is to attain siddhis. A different goal, and therefore it cannot called be bhakti. But then it's Pradhanya and Kevala bhakti, and Pradhanya is honest bhakti where Krishna is the center and Krishna is the goal, and one practice devotional service, but it might be still a little bit mixed with some jnana and karma. One does not have developed full faith in bhakti. One still depends on other processes a little bit, but at least Krishna is the goal. It's honest bhakti. And then is Kevala bhakti, which is pure bhakti. Shuddha bhakti, Ananya, Uttama bhakti. And that's pure bhakti, where both the goal and the process is bhakti, and there is full trust that bhakti is the highest and best process, and one is 100% convinced that nothing else is needed. And Krishna is the supreme goal, nothing else. So we should at least perform Pradhanya Bhakti, but we can also perform Kevala Bhakti. We can perform pure Bhakti, and this is what we should try to do. And once Srila Prabhupada was asked by someone, how many pure devotees are there in your movement? You remember that one? And then Prabhupada turned to his secretary, how many devotees do we have now? I don't know how many this was, but some number. Then Prabhupada said, that much pure devotees we have. So quite amazing statement. What does it mean? Like, are there all pure devotees? Are they all pure? No, they might be not pure at heart, but they follow the pure process. They practice pure devotional service, and therefore they are pure. So the person might not be pure, but the process is pure. And the process becomes pure if you have the proper understanding that Krishna is my supreme goal. There is no other goal. I might still have some other desires, but Krishna is the supreme goal, the supreme desire, and I have full faith that I only need bhakti. And whatever I do for the pleasure of Krishna. I perform bhakti to give pleasure to Krishna. Then that's pure bhakti. And this is what we are supposed to also do. And if we perform that bhakti, then definitely we can attain all our goals, and especially, of course, pure love of God. That's why in Bhagavad Gita it's also said, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all the other process, all the other dharma, just surrender unto me. Everything else is simply a waste of time for the performer. And also Srila Sridhar Swami and other acharyas like Jiva Goswami agree that bhakti yoga is not only easy, simple, natural, and free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human beings. And also again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the superiority of bhakti is emphasized. It's said there. Achagala stana nyanya anya shradana ata eva haribache buddhimana jana. With the exception of devotional service, all the methods of self-realization are like the nipples on the neck of a goat. An intelligent person adopts only devotional service, giving up all other processes of self-realization. So if you have a goat, there is utter and you can get some milk, right? I don't know how nice goat milk tastes, but usually we prefer milk, cow milk. But anyway, you can get some goat milk, okay, from the udder. But if you want to milk the nipple on a neck, there is no milk coming out. So that means the udder process of a sadhana are compared to that nipple. It looks like an udder, but actually you don't get any milk out of it. It doesn't really give any results. So therefore only bhakti is the glorious and the only Shiva Pantha, the only auspicious path which we should take. And therefore, Kasyapa Muni advises Aditi to take to bhakti and worship the Supreme Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada quotes this text from the second canto. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yachita purisham param. That whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service to him. So in Prabhupada speaks about the three different kind of people. There is the kami, the akama, and the moksha kama. And so the who is the akama? Sridhar Swami says akama means the pure devotee, and akama also means that a person whose only happiness is the happiness of the Supreme Lord. That's an akama. You know, his happiness lies in the happiness of Krishna. Whatever pleases Krishna, that's my happiness. And sarvakama means one who has so many desires. And most of the people in this world, they have so many desires, unlimited desires. And Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture to this text, he says, so many desires and it never stops. Even in old age, still there will be material desire. And Prabhupada says, we have witnessed ourselves. There was an elderly gentleman, Prabhupada says, in my age, and he was about to leave his body, and he was very rich, and he asked the doctors, can you not do something? Can you not prolong my life for another 4 years so I can at least complete my program? And then Prabhupada said, foolish rascal, what program? What kind of program you want to finish in the last 4 years? That means even at the time of death, people are still concerned about their material achievements and to fulfill all their desires. So that's the sarvakami, so many desires, and these desires are never finished. And then moksha kama, one who desires to merge into the Supreme. But and it's actually described, it's specifically separately mentioned to give a message to the mayavadis that you also have desire. Because you desire to merge, you desire liberation, and that's also material. That means they are not yet pure. And that's a problem. Also the Buddhists, they have the same problem. They understand one should be free from desire, one should give up all desire, but still then they desire liberation. So, but bhakti is the only process which solves that problem because you desire the pleasure of Krishna. And Vishnavana Chakravarti Thakur states a few prayers in his commentary and says, this is a prayer from Vishnu Purana, which expresses the mood of an akkami, a pure devotee who has no desire. Wherever I may wander, O Master, among thousands of species of life, in each situation I may firmly fixed in devotion to you. May I have firm devotion to you in whatever birth I take. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet. So these are the kind of prayers the Akama devotee has. And in this connection, we have another prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which beautifully describes this mood of being free from all desires. This is from, I think it's from Gita Vali, Prabhutava Pada Yuge. This is like a series of Shikshastakam prayers, and for each verse of Shikshastakam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur composed a song, and this is for text 4. Prabhutava Pada Yuge Mora Nivedana Naimaki Deha Shuka Vidyatana Channa Naimaki Svarga Ara Moksha Naimaki Nokori Pratana Kono Vibhutira Laki Nicha Karma Guna Doshe Ye Chanma Pai Chanma Chanma Yinotava Namaguna Gahi. My Lord, I submit the following prayer at your lotus feet. I do not pray to you for a physical or bodily pleasure, for learning, wealth, or followers. I do not know, do not want these things. And that's exactly what everyone wants. No? The Sarvakami, they want have physical or bodily pleasure, all kind of bodily comforts. They want to have education, they want to have money, wealth, they want to have followers, people who respect them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't want all of that. I do not pray for heaven or salvation. I do not pray for any of these opulences. So also I don't want any svarga or any pleasure of the heavens, nothing like that. So then what do I want? In whatever birth I take, wherever my karma leads me, let me sing the glories of your holy name, birth after birth. That's the only thing I want. I just want to be able to sing your holy name. This alone is my cherished hope, my aspiration, my prayer at your lotus feet. Let causeless and uninterrupted devotion awaken within my heart and flow towards you. That's what I want. Let me love your lotus feet as much as I now love sense gratification. Transfer my affection from the objects of the senses to your lotus feet. And that's a very significant prayer, because the intensity we have now for material things, the desire we want to enjoy, so in that same intensity, may I feel devotion to you, is the prayer. In danger or success, good fortune or disaster, let me remain in equipoise, and let my affection for you increase day by day by the influence of the holy name. So let my devotion, let my bhakti increase every day. How? By the influence of the holy name. And from that we can understand also, it's a good thing to reflect, how much do I actually progress? And how is my chanting increasing? How is my chanting becoming, getting a better quality? And how do I actually increase my devotion to Krishna? And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur completes his prayer, Pashu Pakshi Yoi Thaki Sware Va Niroye Tava Bhakti Raho Bhaktivinoda Hrdoye. Whether I live as a bird or beast, in heaven or in hell, let the humble Bhaktivinoda always cherish bhakti in his hearts of hearts. So basically, let me just have pure devotional service. That's the only desire, and that's the mood or the consciousness of a pure devotee or an Akama devotee. Of course, if we hear such prayers, we may wonder, what about me? Because I'm not on that platform, at least I can talk of myself. I'm not on that platform. Definitely there is still material desires in my heart. So what to do? But as this text says, Akama Sarva Karmova, that whatever is your position. You should worship Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he emphasizes that the Akama, the pure devotee, he is pure from all, he's purified from desire. And Prabhupada quotes Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tat Paradvena Nirmalam. And usually we understand this shloka that if one takes to devotional service and engages his senses in the Lord's service, that there is two side effects, right? Two things happen if we perform bhakti. One is that we get freedom from all material designations and the senses become purified. So we get free from sarva upadhi. We become free from upadhis. What are upadhis? Can someone tell what is an upadhi? I'm a Brahman, yes. I'm a brahmachari. I'm Indian. Indian, I'm better than the Westerners, the white fellows. So I'm a temple commander, I'm a president, I'm this or that. So any kind of designations we have, and that's, you know, like in material life we have so many designations, but then we come to spiritual life and then we get new designations. You know, as a bhakta we become in charge of the washing the pots, so we are the chef wash potter, and we become temple commander. So we become proud of our position, of our designations. But if we actually perform devotional service, we become free from this. And what upadhi do we maintain? What is the only upadhi we have at the end? Das, 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 anudas. We understand that we are the servant of the Lord, or the servant of the servant of the Lord. We become das. So that's the only upadhi, the only identification we maintain. And then we become pure. And it's interesting because Prabhupada quotes this text saying that the devotee is free from desire. That means, from this we can understand, if you're free from the false upadhi, from the false identification, then you also become free from desire. Because as long we are identifying ourselves with the body, as long we also have material desire. But when we understand that we are not the body, that we are an eternal servant of Krishna, then we start to become, you know, we get free from that material desires. So, but the problem is that we are looking at the wrong place for happiness, because we are still, you know, at least if I look into the mirror, I still think that's me, right? But that's a misconcept. You know, it's not me, it's just my body. But because I'm still believe that this is myself, therefore I still have desires in regard of this body. So we're searching happiness at the wrong place. And there is a lila, the pastime, which describes this very nicely. There was once a king, and he had a beautiful princess, a daughter, and the king was extremely attached to that daughter. And on the birthday of that daughter, the king gave his daughter a beautiful golden necklace, like an ornament. A golden necklace and with a lot of ornaments, like valuable jewels, diamond, rubies, very opulent gift. And of course the princess was very happy and wore it. But then after some days, or when the princess was in an outing in a forest, she lost the necklace and was completely morose, and they searched everywhere, they couldn't find it, and the king said, don't worry, I give you a new one, no problem. But then the princess said, no, I want exactly the one you gave me on my birthday. You have to find it. And the king got really a problem here, so they searched, and they didn't find it. So at some point the king became so morose that he said, okay, he announced, whoever finds the necklace of the princess will get half of the kingdom, okay? So you can imagine what happened in that kingdom. Everyone was searching after this necklace like mad, because a half of a kingdom, it's not bad, right? So everyone was searching, and amongst them was one small, like a young farmer boy. He was searching, and he walked through the forest and found a pond, a little lake, and then he saw on the ground of the lake there was the necklace. So he jumped into the water, he tried to get it out, but he couldn't catch it. And then he was standing there, and he was thinking, I have to get it. Anyhow, a whole kingdom I can also share with my friends. So he called his friends. They also tried to dive into the water, but they couldn't get out the necklet. And after some time, the news spread. And, you know, the whole village, everyone was jumping into that pond trying to get the necklet. And at some point, the king heard about, so the king personally came, you know, on a horse. And he looked at the situation, that everything I have to do myself. So he went down and he jumped into the water. But also he came out without success. He was not able to get the necklet out of the water. At that point, who shows up? Narada Muni. Who else? It's always Narada Muni who comes. And he looks at the situation and, what's going on here? Is this a special holy place I did not know about? Everyone takes a holy dip in the water. And then they explain, no, the necklet of the princess, and we try to get it out. But Narada Muni looks around and then he says, you're looking at the wrong place. You're just searching at the wrong place, because the necklet is not there on the bottom of the lake, but actually it's there hanging in the trees. It's just reflecting in the water. So that's the story. But that's our story also, because we are looking for happiness at the wrong place. Because it's just a reflection. This material world is just a reflection, and we are trying to get happiness in this world, but we never can actually get true happiness, true satisfaction. And but of course, in some way, it's quite natural to have material desire, because as mentioned, as long we think we are the body, we do have desire. And as Srila Prabhupada beautifully points out in his purport to 337, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samutpava, that the living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in the association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust, as milk is in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. So, actually, originally we have pure love of God. And also, the Lord is Anandamaya Pyas, the Lord is full of happiness and always searching for happiness, and we as part and parcel of the Lord, we are also searching for happiness. It's quite natural. We want happiness. We want bliss, ananda. But then, if we come in contact with matter, then the original love turns into lust. And then we identify with the body and we think, I only get happiness through this body. But what does Krishna say about happiness through the body? Yehi samsparshata bhuka dukkha yonaya evate atyanta vanta kauntya nateshu ramate buddha. That nateshu ramate buddha, an intelligent person doesn't find pleasure in that kind of sense gratification. Why? Because actually, and that's Krishna's shocking news, shocking message, it's dukkha yonaya evate, that what you think is happiness is actually the source of misery. Dukkha yona. Yona means source. It's a source of misery. And why? Adyanta vanta kauntya. Because it's a beginning and an end. Whatever pleasure we find in the world, and we might find some happiness. It's not that there is no happiness. We find happiness in this world. But the problem is it always has a beginning and always an end. And as a soul, we are searching for eternal happiness. And therefore, a Buddha, an intelligent person, will not go into that kind of pleasure. But in any case, we still have material desires. Understanding all this knowledge, we still have desires. As Aditi also, she is concerned about the well-being of her sons. And Kasyapamuni says, okay, you have desires, then worship Krishna. That's why akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Just engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada also quotes this amazing shlokas from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna says, And that's basically the explanation why we should take to bhakti, because Krishna is so merciful that even we may have material desires, but Krishna will help us. He will maybe, if we are sincere, he will give us the nectar of his lotus feet, and we forget about material desires. And that would be our great fortune. No? And as we heard before, Krishna says that someone who worships Krishna with material desire, he's actually a murkha. The word murkha is used. What does murkha mean? A fool. A murkha is a donkey, an ass. No? A murkha. Because he works hard for nothing. So someone who worships Krishna still having material desire actually is a fool. And then Krishna says, but I'm not a fool. I'm very wise. So why should I fulfill the desire? Better I give him charanamrit. Better I give him the nectar of my lotus feet, and then he forgets about his desire. And that's Krishna's mercy. That's why he's Hari Dinanukampana. He's very merciful, so that he helps us to develop a higher taste. And that's our understanding. We perform devotional service, although we may still have material desires, but if we perform Tivrena Bhakti, intense devotional service, then more and more we develop a higher taste, and with that higher taste, then more and more we can give up the lower taste. And of course there is many examples in Shastra, like Dhruva Maharaj is a great example. Dhruva, who worshipped the Lord with a strong material desire, this was really Sarvakama, he wanted to have greater kingdom than his father, even grandfather. So with that strong desire, he worshipped the Lord. But then what happened? When he finally reached the Lord, he forgot about all his desire. And he lamented, I have searched for a glass, splitter of glass, but now I have found a diamond. So, and maybe to conclude, because time is running out, the four Kumaras, when they speak to Maharaj Prithu, they glorify bhakti in the same line we are talking now, that bhakti is so powerful that if we perform bhakti, all the material desires, they will be going away. And in the purport, Prabhupada gives an amazing point which I like to share, and then we can conclude. So the shloka goes like this: Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya karma shayam katitam utkratayanti shantaha tad vanna rikta matayo matayo piruta shrota kanastam aranam vachavasudevam. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-nutted desire for fruitive activities. So the devotees, they can easily overcome hard-nutted desires. But tadvanna rikta matayo matayo piruda, the others, the karmis, jnanis, they cannot do so. It's very difficult for them. Although they try to stop the waves of sense gratification, they cannot do. Therefore, you are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, Vacha Vasudevam. Because if you worship Krishna, then very easily you can overcome material desires. And Prabhupada says in a purport, the bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service under the lotus feet of the Lord, become overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that automatically the desires of material enjoyments stop. Have you experienced this also? No? The bhaktas, if they engage in devotional service, they become overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. There is so much bliss, so much seva ananda, so much happiness in the service, that they become overwhelmed with happiness, and then they forget about material desires. And then Prabhupada gives, because in the first it speaks of waves of sense gratification. There is like waves of sense gratification flowing into our hearts. But then someone may argue that because these waves are so strong, how can we overcome them? But then Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes the sea, when the tide comes, then the sea water is stronger than the river. and more water from the ocean goes out into the rivers and overfloods everything. So that's similarly, if one absorbs in pure devotional service, then it overfloods all material desires. And in this way, we can overcome all the obstacles. So, but in order to do that, we need to perform Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. And Tivrena means with great force or intense. That means we really have to absorb ourselves in devotional service and try to go deep in our own spiritual practice and hear Krishna Katha, chant the holy name, associate with devotees, and always try to increase our taste so that we feel nourished. Like yesterday, Prithu Prabhu mentioned in the class, if we don't feel nourished spiritually, then our material desires, anarthas, they will drag us down. So therefore, we always need to make sure that we are spiritually healthy, that we feel nourished, spiritually nourished. And only by that, we may overcome all material desires. But that's why Kasapya Muni advises Aditi to take to devotional service, because even if we have desires, if we just worship Krishna, then we can all overcome all of these obstacles. Alright, I stop here. Thank you very much. We have two, three minutes. If there is comments, if the senior devotees like to comment, say something, or if there are some questions, or yes. Hare Krishna, thank you. So that was a comment, thank you. Shit. Any questions? Or? I guess we know what we are supposed to do. Huh? We have to try to absorb ourselves in devotional service. Maybe I can read. Oh, there is a question? Okay, yes, please. Okay, your question is to be free from sinful reaction and to be free from sinful desires, from material desires, whether that's the same thing. Good question. Well, certainly if someone actually said that in order to perform devotional service, one needs to be free from sinful reactions. Or in other words, those who take to devotional service, they must be free from all sin. That's described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And it's also said by Devahuti that actually those who chant the holy name are very glorious because they must have already undergone all the processes, other processes, like penances, austerities, visiting holy places. So those who chant the holy name, they already must have gone through all of that. So now they can take to devotional service. So generally speaking, because bhakti is the supreme, it means that we already have gone through a lot of purification, and now we come to bhakti to really purify the heart from whatever is remaining. But yeah, there might be some reaction remained, and as we know, at the time of initiation, actually we become free from all sinful reaction, right? Guru takes away all sinful reaction. But then some karma remains, because in order to live in this world, we have to, some karma must be there. So then, but this karma, Krishna, uses that karma in a certain way that we can progress in our devotional service. So you're not anymore under the law of karma, but we're actually guided by Krishna directly. And we may still have some material desires left also, but by absorbing in the process of devotional service, we gradually also become free of that. So I'm not sure whether I answered your question, but I would say something in this direction. All right, good. Then, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm grateful that I get this chance. And thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Gichai, Srila Prabhupada Gichai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.